Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Hello, this is Keith Chancy with the Kanakuk Institute podcast room, coming to you live, and I am so excited today to talk to you about missions. Man, I don't know about you guys out there in the world today, but you know, the thought about missions is one of those things that makes you begin to sweat, that makes you begin to think, oh my gosh, could God call me to someplace else in the world? Well, you know what? Missions is not always you being called to another country. It could be right to your next door neighbor. And today I've brought in the best of the best person that he's going to speak to you guys, Mike Shear, who's one of the pastors at Denton Bible Church, longtime friend from the state of Kentucky, but a man that loves God's word, that loves the calling that God has on his life and what he does at Denton Bible Church. So would you please welcome, you know, Mr. Mike Shear. Mike, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Mike, I love having you here. And I just want to, you know, the audience out there today, what people just don't understand, they misunderstand what missions is all about. Can you talk to us a little bit about what is missions?
I'm glad you asked. When I talk to groups about missions, I begin with really the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible is not just a book that speaks about missions. The fact we have a Bible is itself, it is a missional book, that if God was not on mission, he would never have communicated us even through the Bible. So its very existence demonstrates that God is concerned about mission. But then it's also one of the main themes that runs through our Bible. One of the great things I like to point to is that God always, from the Garden of Eden, has had a representative people. So in Adam and Eve, in Genesis 1:28 and 2:15, God said, cultivate the garden, take care of what I've given you, but also subdue the earth, that you are to expand God's presence into the rest of the earth. God could have done that in creation, but he gave that mandate to Adam and Eve to be his representatives to subdue the earth. And then that carries on through Abraham, that he was blessed in Genesis 12 for the purpose of not just receiving a blessing, but also of being a blessing. The nation of Israel was meant to be a magnet that draws the nations in, and that God has, from the very beginning, had a heart for all nations, all peoples. Mm-hmm. And mission is just the expression of the church this day, where Israel was a magnet to draw people. We are sent throughout the Gospel of John. The disciples are sent. Jesus is sent. The Spirit is sent. The church ultimately is sent to the nations to be the representative, to reflect God to the nations. And so it is one of the great biblical themes and blessings, as well as a responsibility that we have.
Wow, I love that, Mike. And thank you. You helped me understand the mission mindset all the way back to Genesis. Yeah. You know, and so it's always been there. You know, when I think about Abraham being called out of Ur and go to a land in which I will tell you, and Abraham picked it up and off he went. And he did exactly what God called him to do, on a mission to go do and fulfill what God called him to do. And then later being called a friend of God and being the one that we see our faith, you know, being like Abraham. And you just go, wow, what a great picture to see a mission-minded man that he didn't even know he's being used of God like that, I don't think.
Right. No, I think you're right. And I think Israel, we see them struggle with the mandate of mission. They were to go to be a representative to the nations, to draw the nations to God, but they either wanted to be like the nations. Yeah. So in 1 Samuel 8 and 9, when they say, we want a king like the nations, we want to be like them. Or they would look at the nations and say, well, we're thankful we're better than them. That Jonah, you see, when God cares about the Ninevites in Jonah 4, Jonah's mad because he wants God to judge the Ninevites. He doesn't want God to save them. And so Israel never became what they were meant to be. And I think those same temptations are for us today. Mm-hmm. That I went to a Christian high school, and my desire was not to be a witness to those I played ball with in public school, but I wanted to be like them.
Yeah.
Or in other cases, I would be thankful that I was better than them. But rarely did I live out that mandate. And I think that's something that individuals and families and churches struggle with today.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, you know, how, if a lot of us, we have these desires to make an impact for the kingdom. And so we go, man, I need to go be a youth pastor. I need to be a teaching pastor. I need to go be in a women's ministry. And so we think about all these things that women and men say, this is what I want to go do with my life. You know, when God calls people to missions, what does that look like?
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah, it is.
I think what God primarily calls us to is Christ-likeness.
Mm.
The primary goal that I or any believer has is to look more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I always think of 2 Corinthians 3:18-19. That as we look to Jesus in the Word, as we study our Bibles, as we spend time looking to Jesus, we begin to look more like Him mm-hmm. so that we are transformed, it says, from glory to glory. Yeah. I think the idea is that transformation, change in my life has come very slow. And as I look more like Jesus, now He's able to use me as He wishes. The call for me was gradual. Yeah. And there was never a one day that I just woke up and I got this big directional call for my life. It was really just being faithful to take the next step. Mm-hmm. And so I remember Tommy Nelson was very impacting my life, Fellowship Christian Athletes impacting my life. I was in college in Kentucky and was at a FCA conference, and Tommy was there. And I can remember first time before he said a word, he prayed, and I was bowing my head and I just looked up. I never heard anybody pray like that. I went up to him after one of the talks and said, how can I learn my Bible like you?
Yeah.
And Tommy, I'll never forget his advice. You know, he was a quarterback football player, so his advice is usually simple. And his advice was, he said, I've learned that 5 years is going to come and go, and the question is, what are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. He said, get up and read your Bible every day. That was his advice. And then he said, hey, I've got a study program. And so I didn't know anything about missions. My desire at that point was to play ball. But I thought, I'll take the next step.
Yeah.
And I went to that study program. And then I thought God was calling me back to plant a church mm-hmm. in the mountains of Kentucky and Tennessee. I love that area. That's my heart is for that area. And then an opportunity arose where I was in business and was told to, was given the opportunity to work at Denton Bible Church. And so just took the next step. And so sometimes I think we look for these all-encompassing answers from God. But I think a lot of it is be faithful, be transformed by the Word of God day to day, mm-hmm. and then take the next step mm-hmm. and see what it is that God opens up for mm-hmm. you.
You know, Mike, something I love that you said is that you and Carrie didn't really know that God was calling y'all into missions.
Right.
And so as God began to work on y'all's hearts, bringing y'all together with a mission-mindedness to serve the Lord, in that, through your faithfulness and through your understanding of God's Word, and Carrie, you're a counselor, you just began to be used by God. And as that, the church began to say, hey, we see your gifts.
Yeah.
And they saw your gifts, and you were called out to go start a mission part of Denton Bible Church. Is that correct?
Yes, that is right. Now, I think what you're saying about spiritual gifts is very important.
Yeah.
That there is a subjective element to spiritual mm-hmm. gifts. I feel like I'm being led this way, yeah. or I feel like I'm good at these things. But I think there is an objective sense where what is it that you can do that doesn't feel like work, that it almost re-energizes you? And what is it that you can do that the church, the body of Christ, responds well to?
Mm-hmm.
When I do counseling, I get a much different response than what Carrie does, because that's a gifting for her. And people respond to that. You know, 1 Peter 4 says that the spiritual gifts are given for the building up of the body. And so when we express our gifts, the body should feel built up.
Mm-hmm. And y'all have done that together very, very well. And now you are going around the world to a lot of places. So as someone that's helping develop the mission program of Denton Bible Church, when you go to these places around the world, what is the goal that you have in going to these places? Is it different than what you're trying to do in Denton, Texas?
I would say in one way it's the same, because it's a commitment to the local church.
Okay.
That our heart is, we believe in the priority, the primacy of the local church. Mm-hmm. And so in Denton, we get to express that through our local church. Yeah. But what we're doing around the world, you know, I'd like to think of in 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul is writing, and it's at the end of his second missionary journey, which was an incredibly difficult journey. He had walked thousands of miles. He was really at a low point in his ministry. And his one success had been in Thessalonica. It's the one church you see in the New Testament he never says anything negative about. And he was forced to leave, though, and he sent Timothy back, and he's reflecting on that in 2 Timothy or 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And he says that his heart was for this church. And so he chose to send Timothy back. The wording is he chose to orphan himself of Timothy, that he lost his dear son, to send him back because he said, the one thing I cannot endure, and I catch on that word endure, that the Apostle Paul endured shipwrecks, stonings, beatings, all kind of things. But he said, the one thing I can't endure is one local church without a trained pastor. And so he sent Timothy back, and that church probably needed 1,000 things, but the job description, he gave him a 2-word job description. He was to teach, which means he was to preach the word of God expositionally, and he was, the word is parakaleo. We translate it encourage, but it means walk alongside, and so it's discipleship. And so Timothy was sent back because Paul said, I'm committed to one local church. I'll shut everything down that the word of God is taught and that men are and women are discipled. And so that's what we do. We train pastors around the world, and we try to give them the tools to know their Bible, to know how to teach their Bible, and how to walk with men and women.
You know, I was thinking about this because, you know, in my own neighborhood, and all of us have neighborhoods we live in, and so as the audience is out there, they go, man, Chancey, we've come through the Institute, we've been equipped, we've been trained, we've been entrusted with the Word of God to us, and we know what the Great Commission is, go therefore and make disciples, and we know we're to be missionary-minded, and that what we do. Yet, Mike, can you just give me a couple of very tangible ways that we could do that just as a neighbor? You know, I think about that a lot, that, you know, we live next to people. We live in neighborhoods. We have supermarkets. We have places that we frequently go to the eat at. What are ways that we can become mission-minded in just the way we live our lives at home?
You know, I would give you just 3 real quick ones. One, I would say there are great tools on the internet now. Okay. So you could pull up things like Operation World, and you could begin praying for people groups and works that are going on around the world just from those statistics and prayer. They'll have daily prayer requests.
That's awesome.
On the internet. And then a second thing would be find out what your church is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of churches will have a missions pastor, or they'll have a missions committee or a board. Get plugged into that.
Mm-hmm.
See who your church is supporting, what works are taking place around the world. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing I would say is we live in a day like no other, that migration is greater today than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And so the nations have come to us. And so that becomes a very political thing for many of us with the southern border. But the issue of migration gives us the opportunity to introduce the gospel to people that might otherwise never hear of Christ. And so I think if we think of our neighbors, the question is not so much what's one thing I can add to my schedule that will be ministry, but how do I do the things I'm already doing? If I've got kids in sports leagues, how do I do that with a missional attitude where I want the team or the league to be better because we're there? How do I do that at work? How do I do that? You said your neighborhood. Yeah. What's that look like? How do I take the initiative to have people over to build relationship in hopes that through those relationships, I will have the opportunity
Mike,
to introduce
the gospel? Mike, I love hearing you say that, because one of the things that I think is so just a beautiful thing is when I watch people invite neighbors over to their home, provide for them a meal, love them, ask their prayer requests, and just become a friend. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. We're not asking denomination. We're asking, how can I pray for you? How can I love you? How can I be a part of helping you in this neighborhood? You know, and can I, you know, by the way, if you ever have something you need, if your yard needs to be mowed, if there's something I can do to help you, would you please call me? And if I can't do it, I'll get people to help you, especially to the widows and the orphans and those that can't fend for themselves. It's an incredible mission field out there if we just open our eyes and see it.
That's right. You know, just one quick stat as we're wrapping up. We have a ministry to college students who are international students that are studying in Denton. And statistics are that more than 3/4 of all international students will spend time in the United States and never be in an American household. And so just even to invite them in tears down so many walls. And just through hospitality, you earn the right to speak into their lives.
I love that. Well, you know, guys, if you're out there today and this is just touching your heart, man, I hope that this is a challenge for all of us, myself included, that I just begin to see others more important than myself, and I want to go knock on a door. And if it's in your neighborhood that you start having a mission-mindedness, great. If it's getting involved in your local church, fantastic. Find out what they're doing. And first, you know, I've always felt like this, Mike, and tell me what you think about this. I always feel like before you go on a big mission trip, learn how to do missions in your own area first.
Yeah, I think that's right. You and I both have grown up under Tommy Nelson. Yeah. And anytime somebody comes in with an idea of doing ministry, he says, who are your guys?
That's right.
Who are you already doing it with?
That's right. Yeah. And if you're doing that, now we can validate you and you can go raise that support.
Right.
I'm disappointed sometimes that people want money before they've ever even shown themselves worthy to go someplace.
That's right.
You know? And so, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking on doing this, hey, first get involved in your neighborhood and then think bigger. Pray that and ask God, God, where do you want me to go? Because we can go anywhere, Africa, Iraq, we can go to China, we can go any place. But to be called to a certain place that you've been praying about and gaining an understanding of the culture and that you begin to love the people there and God's put that in your heart, you're going to have a whole lot more successful of a mission trip.
That's
and
right.
So when I think about that, I go, guys, if you're thinking about that, just think of what Mike has just said. He's encouraged you to know your Bible, to be a man or woman of prayer, to seek a direction and a place, and then just begin to go do it.
That's right.
Bro, thank you so much for being a part of this today. I hope that people out there are encouraged to go do missions and to make a difference for Christ. But the biggest mission is right there in your own home. Might even be with your own wife, your own kids. That could be where it starts, then your neighborhood, and then the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So thank you, Mike. So appreciative of you and what you're doing. And thank you for being here at the Institute this week. We are so appreciative of you. Hey, God bless. And you guys that are listening, hey, have the best day ever. Thank you now. Bye-bye.